Okay, we are ready to rock and roll. It is 7:01. Apologize for the tardiness. I like to get started usually at 7 o'clock. This is Vance Rogers, your host of Saturday AM Live, and it is another beautiful day in 2011. I'm going to open it up with a quote, and then Vince and I are going to dialogue for the next 20-25 minutes to talk about what we're doing. I'm kind of continuing where we started last week, and there were several of you that emailed me and said, you know, I kept pushing the buttons to try and get in and share my goals, to share some of the things that I'm going to change in 2011. I'm not a big fan of making resolutions. I'm a big fan of making tangible changes so that, you know, 2-3 months from now, we actually get to where we want to be. And I included this in my email this week. Joel Osteen said it this way: what are you doing? What are we doing to stretch ourselves? What are we doing to improve our skills? Don't get trapped into thinking that good enough is good enough. You were created for more than just average. Today is a new day, and there are new heights for you to climb. Pursue what you love and keep developing that area of your life. Take a class or find a mentor that will help you live skillfully. As you do, you'll rise up higher and higher. You will stand before leaders and rulers. That's right out of Proverbs. You'll stand before leaders and rulers. And you will live the blessed life that God has for you. You know, ultimately, folks, I think that's what it's all about. And Vince and I have had many conversations aside from on Saturday morning and talked about this. So, Vince, first of all, welcome back to the call.
Thank you.
You were with us a few months ago, and you shared enough tidbits of information that I felt it was worthy to have you back, because you and I kind of agree on this subject, that if we're not in a mode of stretching ourselves every day, and I'm not talking about doing physical calisthenics, that's part of it. However, what I really want to, you know, hone in on are, what are some of the things that we can do when we look at the five pillars of health, healthy mind, body, family, finances, and society? What are some of the things that we can do to stretch ourselves so that we're not just good enough, as Joel pointed out, but we're way above average, we're better than the curve? What are some of the stuff? Let's just look at, Vince, as a way of introduction, I guess I should have done that. You've been in the physical therapy industry for 20 years plus now, right?
That's correct.
Okay. And I think you addressed and you told us why you jumped in that, but just for a quick review, what made you go into that line of profession?
Well, I did it briefly when I was in the military, and like some people out there, when I got out of the military, I didn't believe that it was a profession that I could handle, that I could actually be a licensed physical therapist. So I went to school, as we said before, to become a preacher. Decided that I would prefer being a special education teacher, and in the process of 2 years of teaching in special education, found that I actually could be a professional as a therapist. Went back and got my training, and obviously, a lot of what I do is mixed with some of the psychology that I learned from special education, and some of the skills that I've learned as a physical therapist, intermingled with a lot of good information from a really good book.
Okay, and we won't keep a secret for anybody. We'll let them know. The good book you're referring to is actually the... biggest selling or top selling book on any New York Times selling list of the entire world, always will be. And I remember now why I like you so much, because we have the same background, that we went to school to study a specific profession and then kind of discussed, you know, hey, you know, or kind of sat there and realized that, you know, maybe if we kind of do a little course correction and take it this way, we might, not that there's anything at all wrong, it's just for our own lives. Nothing wrong at all with going into the ministry, either full-time, part-time, or whatever. But we may have an opportunity to do it in a different angle, and that's exactly what you're doing. So in that mode, because physical therapy is more than just making a physical adjustment on somebody's body, it definitely is something that impacts the mind, the spirit, the whole what are some of the things that that we can do to stretch ourselves? Let's look at physically, if we can go that way. And folks, those of you on the line, I hope you understand where I'm coming from. This is more than just about a physical fitness routine. I think there's some simple things that I'm hoping Vince will share with us that will really allow us to get everything, you know, the utmost out of every single day, just by repeating and doing some simple things. So enlighten us, Vince. What are some of the things that you tell your clients, your patients, you know?
Well, as you may recall, and this will probably be a review for some, since we're all creatures of the habits we've created for ourselves, we have to first figure out what we need, and clearly a lot of people do need to stretch, and if you're only stretching at varied times of day or at times when you think of it, then you're actually going to get more tight as the day progresses. So as this company talks about balance, so I suggest people set a timer, and every hour remind themselves to stand up. And I tell them to stand up twice. And if you stand up twice every hour, the first time you stand up, you'll see how stiff you were. And the second time you stand up, you'll see how flexible you can stay if you'll stand up regularly. And clearly, there are things that all of us need to do. And if you're driving on a long trip and you've gone 4 hours and you get out of the vehicle and you discover that you didn't stop regularly, that can add up over years. Now, clearly with our technologies, and I've brought this up before, with our technologies, and Jerry White brought it up too, you're going to be more flexible if you're wearing our technologies.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a complete panacea. In other words, everyone can get stiffer if you don't do things regularly. So even myself learned years ago how to get rid of some shoulder pain that I had for 37 years following a motor vehicle accident by stopping regularly, stretching regularly, eating regularly. And I actually got rid of the discomfort in my left shoulder prior to getting involved with NECAM. But nothing will get you to that accelerated as fast as our technology. So
that's what you're saying. Our bodies were not created to be in a stationary position for hours. You know, as Rick Murphy says, you know, if we go to work as an employee, a lot of us are nothing more than a dairy cow in a cubicle. We're just sitting there doing the same thing over and over, and our bodies weren't really designed to do that, to set stationary motionless or to make long drives. So just stretching, I mean, and I'm sure it's more than just to the physical. It's releasing endorphins into the mind, that kind of getting a fresh approach. There's got to be a whole, from the whole scientific thing, there's got to be a whole myriad of things that are taking place in the body when we do that. You also mentioned, I remember this from before, that 5 minutes of stretching or getting away, pulling away from whatever you're doing, 5 minutes every hour, what does it do in the mind that we can literally kind of pull ourselves out? And, you know, if you're a government employee or you work for a corporation, they give us those, you know, breaks every couple hours. You know, you got a 15 or 20 minute coffee break, whatever they call it. But it, especially when we're self-employed, working as a wellness consultant, if we're full-time in that, it's hard to actually to remind ourselves to stop. But what takes place mentally in that 5 minutes that if we pulled away and took a break?
Well, obviously there's going to be a lot of rejuvenation, but clearly there's going to be things that aren't going to happen that are more important in your mind. You're going to get more oxygen to the tissues that you're stretching. You're going to create a new habit, because all of us, if we go constantly, then we're going to push ourselves to the limit, and we never know on a particular day when that limit that we've pushed, it could possibly cause our death. We could be driving down the road, and we pushed ourselves to the point of exhaustion, and So I try to, when I bring up things that people might call negative. I go, no, that's a definite possibility that what you want to avoid. But that 5 minutes of stretching allows your brain to get rejuvenated, get you back to where you are.
And I know that as I'm reaching down, because I've got my feet setting on the body energizer, but I don't have it turned on, which does absolutely no good, because as a plugged-in device, it needs to be flipped on. And I'm always reminding myself, hey, you've got it setting under your desk. Flip it on, moron. Use it. Pulling away in that 5 minutes is a great time to grab a set of MagBoy or grab the Power Mag and rub it over our body. Or even if you've got one of the sample RAM magnet, RAM, you know, technology. Those are wonderful. And as you alluded, as Jerry White mentioned, you know, that's one of those little, you know, it looks like a non-moving product, but because of the technology, it is throwing that magnetic field. So exposing ourselves to any of Niken's products during that 5 minutes is surely going to revive some things. Vince, let's talk about and we kind of alluded and hinted on this before, but traditionally, and again, I'm just looking at the traditional kind of what takes place in our culture, that we, and I see this all the time, in any place of business where they'll have a break room where, okay, we're taking that 5 minute break every hour or 15 minute break every couple hours, and there's a big pot of coffee. There's a greatly arrayed spread of donuts or other things. What do you recommend for really boosting the body's fuel, I think is the word that you used when we talked several months ago about this, putting a fresh source of fuel into the body? What are some of the simple things, and we've got people on the call who are from every walk of life, some that are plant-based, or vegan, or vegetarians, or, you know, gluten-free, whatever. What are some of the simple things that you recommend as that source of fuel to put in the body every couple hours to kind of keep the body something running? I mean, you grab a handful of almonds, or is it a piece of fruit, or pounding down a Coke, which I know that's not something that's going to be on your approved list. But what are some of the simple things that you do to keep the fuel source, you know, at its maximum?
Well, without being too wordy, I do tell folks that according to myself, there's two basic food groups. There's sticks or kindling, and or logs and protein. So since the greenzymes are the only actual food that you could eat without anything, greenzymes is a great way to go if you need some energy. And I think you've alluded before. Dr. Gordon Pedersen, I think,
mm-hmm.
that it takes a good half hour for that to kick in. And so for quicker energy, you would take something and ingest something sugary. So to me, if you need it, then get the sugar in. But obviously, if you get too much sugar, your body can't store it as sugar. It's going to convert it to fat. So, and our technologies go hand in hand with food. If you put a body energizer on you, and it's moving things around to get it to where you need it to be, and you're not eating regularly enough, mm-hmm. it's actually robbing it from you rather than replenishing you. So, with our body balance, with the amazing amount of protein and prebiotics and postbiotics. I'm not trying to make this sound like a commercial, but that's the best way to go for individuals who haven't taken the time to learn about our nutritionals, and they just go and eat a piece of chicken or some cheese. That will get them going through the day, because they may not want to take a body balance shake every couple of hours to get that done. But briefly on what you put your feet on the body energizer and you didn't have it on,
mm-hmm.
it's still working.
Mm-hmm.
It's still working.
Mm-hmm.
Those magnets, you can take a magnet in your hand like the Super Mini and move it rapidly over an area, and you created the same type of energy that you would be doing with the body energizer, because when you're moving it, you make it react faster. And I've done that for a lot of times. Now when I use them on my patients when I'm not allowed to, I actually do some stretching at the same time while I'm moving my hand over the area, so they don't think I'm just rubbing them. They actually see something getting done.
So, okay.
But it's amazing how quickly it works when you're rubbing it versus just holding it there.
Okay. You know, and something you just said is really remarkable, and I recommend, if you don't have, and I'm not a big proponent of utilizing the body balance every day, because I believe it was Aristotle who said, let food be our medicine, that a lot of the authors like McDougall, who wrote the China study, they're not real big proponents of utilizing a lot of cheater sources like a zone bar. It's always there. And again, it's more of getting the real food. And something like our jade greenzymes is real food. It's one of those few foods that are found out in nature, barley, that's a whole food, that you could live on that successfully for the rest of your life, because it's a beautiful balance. And there's a few others that are out there. But having a tub of the body balance around, that if you don't have time, it's essential. And I'll share about this in a couple weeks when I give more details, and I'm probably going to dedicate a whole call. I don't know if I might have to just sneak it in there. But one of the things that I'm doing right now to improve my arena, and I started this last fall and really kind of picked up the pace last month, is a few of the firefighters that I serve with in our volunteer fire department, is we're training for a 69-story stair climb. It's 69 stories up in Seattle. There's 1,500 firefighters that come in from all over the world to take part. And it's a fundraiser for leukemia, so don't worry, folks. I'm going to hit you up. You guys are going to be part of this. But it's not just climbing a 69-story building. It's climbing a 69-story building, which, if you do the math, is, 1,480 steps, I believe is what it is. We're doing it in full firefighter gear, with tanks on our back, with masks on our face, breathing air. So there's a restriction in there. It's hot. It's basically 50 to 60 pounds worth of gear on our back, on our persona, climbing up these stairs. We've been training for this already, and we've already done it several times. The tallest building in downtown Portland, which is 1,800 steps, and we've been doing that a couple times a week. Only reason I mention all that at this point is twice now before I've done that, if I didn't have time and it had been a couple hours since I've eaten, I thought, I'm going to slam a body balance shake, and I throw other stuff in there, half a banana, some frozen blackberries, and I'm the oldest guy in our group that's doing this, and I'm not bragging on me because I am not a physical fitness specimen, but Vince, what I've been doing is utilizing some of these things that you've been talking about. We're not in it to set any speed records as we're going up these stairs, but I'm utilizing the products, and I'm really thoroughly amazed at what I'm seeing so far. Because as the other guys have made mention several times, Vance, we're not going before you, because even if we give ourselves a 2-minute head start, you're still going to lap us. And I'm just cracking up because, again, I'm the old guy in the group. At 42, the next closest one is 40, and then the youngest guy is in his 20s. And I just think, man, what a testimony of what these products are doing, and this philosophy of, is it a good chunk of wood, or is it some more kindling to keep the fire going? And for a lot of us, this is a foreign concept. So I really appreciate what you're saying there, because I've had the opportunity now to use it on several occasions. And if you're not climbing, a 45-story building twice as your mode of physical fitness, it's still, we have to keep the body, the fuel sources going. Vince, what are some of the things that you've seen, not to get onto the negative, however, but what are some of the things that you've discovered that doing this will combat, or what happens if we don't take a stretch break a couple times an hour, if we don't squeeze in that 5 minutes to kind of clear our mind, if we're not putting a few more pieces of kindling to kind of restoke that fire, what can happen to the body?
Well, whenever we run out of fuel. Our body has to get it from ourselves. And in order to get it from ourselves, our body will go into what's called stress mode. So our body does not go into stress mode just because of an emotional thing. It also goes into stress mode because of it's out of fuel. So your adrenal gland will kick in, and I'm not talking as a physician. I'm a physical therapist, so if any physicians out there hear me saying something not exactly correct, then they obviously can correct me. But there are chemicals that are released that will allow your body to borrow fuel from you. So it will deplete your muscles of protein. It will deplete your bones of calcium. And it has to do that to keep you going if you're going to try to stay alive. And some of the side effects of some of these chemicals, you can get excessive fats and cholesterol circulating through your bloodstreams, and they even have individuals who've had they ate very well, exercised every day, and collapsed on the golf course playing a few rounds, and they thought, why did that happen? They've had teenagers collapse on the basketball court dead. And I believe that's because they were utilizing too much of their stored food rather than stopping and getting some new consumed food. That's not a fun thing to have happen. Obviously, it's not happened to me. And I don't consider that negative. If you don't know what bad things could happen and don't stop and prepare for them, and that's why we as Neekin Wellness Consultants, we look at people every day who are pushing themselves too far. And usually when someone gets a headache or has some other difficulty, what they've done is since that really good book says he does exceedingly abundantly more than we ask, our body is kicking in, fixing things, going, and all of a sudden, boom, all of those warning signals. In fact, there's a population of people who actually make this phrase. They'll say, I know I need to sit down, but if I sit down, I won't be able to get up, and no one else is going to get this done, so I'm going to keep going. Which means we're cognizant that they've pushed themselves too far, but right now they're saying, I really need to get this done. And
that goes along with, if I don't do it myself, it's not only not going to get done, but it's not going to get done right. And I'm going to point a finger at my father, who, you know, I know he learned that from his father, so it's kind of a heredity thing. Is, you know, if you want something done right, by golly, you got to do it yourself.
Can I share something from the past?
And yes.
Make this, I'm certain you've heard of Madame Curie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'm guessing you thought she was French. She wasn't. She was Polish. But everyone says she's a famous French physicist. I'm guessing you've never heard of Pierre Curie.
No.
Okay, that's her husband. The reason we don't hear of Pierre, and this is going to sound a little gross, I'm not trying to be gross, but on one fateful day he was rushing around, as he always did. They spent tireless hours working on the discovery of radon. And one day while he was going through the streets and dodging this and dodging that, there were two large horse-drawn carts going through town, and he thought that he could dart through them. But obviously, since he was on adrenaline and he wasn't focused really well, he misjudged, and I won't say what happened next, but that was his demise on that particular day.
Mm.
And I think of that often when I'm pushing myself too far. I go, okay, yeah, I've got these mag steps on. There have been days where, when I first put them on, where I didn't eat anything all day. I just had so much I had so much energy. I kept thinking, why do I have so much energy? I really need to stop and eat.
Not to play on words, but you, Vince, you literally thought you were invincible, didn't you?
Exactly. So I have to remind myself to, you know, look at the clock. We have to give ourselves those reminders.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
You know, I think that this is so crucial because, again, looking at what our culture does, that we don't get the needed sleep. And as wellness consultants, you know, we understand that sleep is the foundation of our wellness home. And 2011 is going to be, from Neekin's perspective, the year of, you know, the sleep initiative. We're going to focus on this to really help educate folks on the importance of it. And that the average American, and I know this, I learned this from Dr. Martin Plotkin years ago, and you, some of the, you know this fact as well, that we go into the work week. You know, this is the weekend, we relax. We take some time. We get extra sleep because we sleep in or we go to bed early or whatever. But come Monday, we, you know, go and charge into that work week. And by Friday, and he calculated this down to an exact science, by Friday, we go into Friday morning, Friday afternoon, we are deficient one full night's sleep because we've cut on Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night. We've trimmed, you know, an hour and a half here or 2 hours here because we had to get up earlier or something came up, and we don't allow the body to get the needed rest. And if we go into the day and then all of a sudden we think, well, hey, I'll just cheat and I'll, you know, get two or three cups of coffee today rather than my usual one, or I'll grab this, and, you know, I don't think that's the type of fuel that you're talking about and to kick up that adrenaline. You also said, and I think this bears repeating because I have used this since we talked and since you shared, and I think we need to really understand because I'm kind of have this innate ability. I can grab one topic or one idea and I'll run with it, or as I learned from my mom, you kind of go from one obsession to the next. But you had said before that you ask people before you do an energy test if they consume, or if they're a smoker, or if they consume an excessive amount, or even a marginal amount of caffeine, because it restricts constricts, I believe is the word you use, the blood vessels, and slows down that circulatory process. If we're in that category, what would you suggest? What would you recommend? Or if we come across people that are in that category that are, you know, drinking a six-pack of Mountain Dew or Pepsi every single day, what is a way, because I'm sure you've had clients, I'm sure you've had patients that have been in that scenario, what do you suggest to try and curb that, to get, you know, switch back to water, or if they're doing two packs of cigarettes a day, to get that back to going completely smoke-free? What are some of the ways that you've seen that people can curb that addiction, if we can call it that, or that nasty habit?
Well, what I basically tell folks is, have you ever drank a cup of coffee or taken a drag off of your cigarette and didn't get that wow energy boom on their moment? And they usually go, well, yeah. And I said, would you like to know why that energy didn't happen? And they'll go, well, yeah. It was because your body was out of adrenaline. It couldn't kick in that extra. It couldn't borrow any fuel. And basically, it's better to actually have food in your system to draw from for energy right now rather than continually depleting your body of the things that are there. And so when they think about those kind of things, they can start the process of changing. Because I tell people, I said, these are not Vince's commands. These are not Vince's demands. These are Vince's suggestions. And I said, if the body works just like it was created to do, and I believe it was created, I don't believe it evolved. There's a whole science about evolution, and I don't agree with the conclusions that evolutionists come up with how the body works. But that's another story. So when they see that, they can come up with the reasoning as to why they should change, because no one ever told them that caffeine and nicotine work essentially the same way. One of the side effects, obviously, of the nicotine is the extra smoke that you're getting and depleting your lungs. But we've known of individuals who were in their hundreds who smoked for years.
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't understand why the process was different. And my suggestion for you going up those stairs, young man, is that you consciously, for a while, consciously focus on slow, deep breathing, and you'll actually do better. One of the things that happens when we're lifting things or doing physical activity is we have a tendency to hold our breath.
Mm-hmm.
So because of our technologies, you'll tend to go and do better. If you consciously breathe for a while, slow and deep, you'll actually get more oxygen to the tissues, and that oxygen to the tissues will allow you to ascend those steps even better than before, instead of relying on automatic breathing, which tends to become shallow and rapid. So
yeah, no, I'm one step ahead of you, because trust me, bathroom.
Good!
As I'm about at the 65th floor or 72nd floor, you know, twice up of 45 stories, I'm consciously every single time going, okay. And it's one of those things that if you don't do it, like you said, and we tend to think, well, it's just natural. We're still breathing, and we don't take those deep breaths. And I appreciate that. So when it really comes down to making a change, because all of us have some vice or another.
And, real briefly, as far as the water is concerned,
mm-hmm.
I tell them if it's coming out dark, you're not drinking enough.
Mm-hmm.
If it smells, you're not drinking enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell them I learned that you drink half your body weight in ounces every day, and that confuses everybody else as much as it does me. So I basically said, if you weigh 250 pounds, you should be drinking a gallon of water a day. And that you can understand.
And of course, that's startling for people. Let's say they don't drink any water. And they can't figure out why, number one, they're not having regular bowel movements. Oh, sorry, Vance.
That's
a BM word on the call. But they can't figure out why their energy level is depleted, or they're just kind of, in that fog, mentally even. Because we, you know, if our body's more than 80% water, we've got to do that. But that's a tall order, not to play a pun on words, but that's a big thing. Because for myself, at 150 pounds, what you're saying is I should be drinking 75 ounces a day, or, you know, 8 10-ounce glasses. The glass I have in front of me is about a 10-ounce glass. I need to be pounding 8 of those down a day. Man, Vince, how in the world can I get anything done? Because every, 45 minutes, I got to get up and go pee again. I mean,
that's not the case. Believe it or not, the major reason that you relieve your bladder so much is because you're not eating.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't eat, your body has to borrow food from you to do the process. It has to borrow water from you, and your bladder will fill more frequently. If on those times when you're rushing back and forth to the bathroom, you'll actually grab something to eat, you'll find the water valve will shut off.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know, since you shared that several months ago, it is 100% truth and accurate, because I've done that very thing. I put, if I can't make it up to the kitchen, which is, a whole one story away, or I don't, I found some really, really good organic snack bars, whatever you want to call it. So I keep a few of them in the desk drawer, and I may not eat the whole thing, but even half of it, take that 5-minute stretch break and consume that, and it's absolutely amazing what takes place. You're 100% correct, because I found that you're not having to go use the loo as frequently, for one, but mentally, it's been absolutely amazing. So, folks, if you haven't adopted that, lifestyle or that little tweak, I can't recommend it any higher. Vince, we haven't talked a lot about this, but in the time that we have remaining, I'd like to just to spend a few months mentally. What are some of the things that we can do? We talked about physically. You pulled this back. During that stretch break, that 5 minutes every hour, is there some things mentally we can do to kind of pull out of the situation? Now, obviously, if we're driving down the road, that may not allow us to do that, but are there some things that you recommend mentally to kind of get back to a good, plumb line or a base level to really allow our minds to function at their optimum?
Well, actually, I get this from that really good book to focus on things that you can do something about right now, because when you're focusing on things you can't do anything about right now, that's actually in the realm of worry.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't need to worry. It tells us don't worry little. It says don't worry at all.
Mm-hmm.
So we can actually keep ourselves in a better spirit when we're focusing on something pleasant. And someone really, really important said, that who, for the joy that was set before him,
mm-hmm.
endured the difficulty that he was going through,
mm-hmm.
Despising the shame. That's been a really good section in chapter 12. Well, I try to throw the stuff out there so that people who may or may not think we're just trying to be biblical can understand that there's some really good things there. So our focus is on something pleasant, we're actually going to spend less energy. If it's, we'll focus on something we can do something about, we're actually going to be calmer. And some really intelligent people years ago discovered that if you'll read everything you can on a subject and then keep a pencil and paper handy and focus on a particular question that you want answered and wait. Mm-hmm. And when that answer comes, you just write it down. And I've discovered a lot of really strange things over the course of the years that some people go, why did you care about that? I go, well, it was just something that I wanted to know. Like when someone says, actions speak louder than words, I ask people, I go, what speaks louder than action? As we discussed before, that's misperceptions, because if someone misperceives why you're doing something, then you can get really depressed while they're actively trying to put you down, when you should be saying, okay, that's their misperception. Their misperception right now is trying to speak louder than the action that I'm doing. I'm just going to ignore that because I know that I'm doing this with a good and noble desire and motive. And hey, if that's what they want to think, that's their choice. And because I obviously can't change what they're thinking, I can change my reaction to what they're thinking and influence what they're thinking, but hey.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's something that a lot of times we forget because, for whatever reason or another, we're not dialed in. And I've been a proponent for years of, doing my best to read a proverb a day. And I recently, from a friend of a friend, actually introduced me to a speaker by the name of Matthew Kelly. And his charge for the last 15 years on the international speaking circuit is to challenge people to spend 10 minutes a day in what he calls, I got to go back and listen to the CD again, but the classroom of silence, just setting down to empty your mind, but have a pen and paper handy. So if something jumps in there, a thought or a to-do or whatever, just jot it down and get back to just a setting silence. And not giving a list of demands to God for that day, what you need or what your desires and what your dreams are, but just taking some time, whether it's the last thing at night or first thing in the morning or the middle of the day, whenever, it doesn't matter the time, but just kind of focusing back and going, okay, what is it that I need to kind of empty myself just to, all the New Age gurus, call them what they are, but all of them teach the same thing, that if we don't literally empty ourselves to kind of get, we don't want to walk around with an empty mind. That's not what I'm saying at all, and I know, Vince, that's not where you're alluding to at all, but we have to take that time to kind of get grounded again and, ask ourselves that question and jot some things down and put things in front of us that are going to remind us of that fact. And you keep referring to the good book, and to piggyback on stuff we talked about earlier, in Psalms 90, it clearly states that, the average life expectancy of a man or a woman is 70 years. Now, if you're a strong man or a strong woman, if we take care of this physical body, then you're looking at 80 years. It's in Proverbs. If you don't believe me, chapter 90, go check it out. I was discussing this with a dad the other day. We just got back from a gymnastics tournament, and we're sitting there, and he made reference to something because his son called him an old man, and I would have guessed him in his late 40s or mid 40s, and I laughed and I said something, and he said, well, the book says if we're strong men, we'll live to be 80. I said, you're exactly correct. I just read that a few days ago. So we can chart our course based on what we're doing. So Vince, I want to thank you because this may seem elementary for you, but for a lot of us, we haven't studied this like you have for the last several decades, and this is foreign concepts to us that we can literally just by making some small corrections get our bodies to perform physically and mentally to where they should be, and it's really, really beneficial stuff. And again, I don't think you are, and I know that I'm not, and I know you're not, as a matter of fact, discounting the benefits that we can derive from Niken products. However, if we really want to get the optimum out of those products, out of our wellness home, I think there's things that we need to do every single day to make that happen. Because we all know people that have used products, the Nikan products, for years or even a few months, and their enthusiasm just wanes because they got a great experience right off the bat, and then it kind of fizzled out. Well, these are some of the tricks I know. So, Vince, any other closing thoughts? Any other zinger that you want to throw out there?
Oh, yeah, but this may upset quite a few people out there because I'm kind of different. To unquote somebody previously, some people didn't get it, some people didn't keep it, some people didn't work it. Some got 30, some got 60, some got 90. I'm sorry, I took that class. Well, I said don't take it, but you know me. So those who didn't get it, well, we tell people to go to function. We tell them to listen to tapes. And we tell people not to take that class. Well, to me, if you give them tapes, then eventually they'll get it. That seed that didn't stay in because someone took the seed away, the people who didn't keep it, they got excited, and then it waned. Well, obviously, it said that they didn't have much soil. I think of these as dynamic illustrations, not static. Mm-hmm. So I would guess if you would add soil to someone who didn't keep it, that would allow them to have some nurturing, that would allow them to have the plant. And those who didn't work it, well, clearly they had a plant, but they didn't have any fruit. And if you weed, get them to weed and prioritize and get those things out that they don't need to have there. And then, of course, the 30, 60, 90, that's a no-brainer. You sell more, you get more,
mm-hmm.
You know? So the 30 could get 60 if they did more.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean you have to make them do more. It just means, hey, the stuff's out there. This is how it works. It works in the plant world. It also works in the real world. And like I tell people all the time, I didn't write the book. I'm just telling you what it says. You know, so I have taken the class. I do understand that when we need to do follow-ups on individuals, what do they need? If they're already a strong individual, that's clearly why their business built so well. And if they're just sort of waning, just know that, hey, that's where they are. And where do they want to be? And if you show them where they are, and you show them where they want to be as a physical therapist or as a business builder, then they get to make those choices. We're just here to help, you know.
We're just simply providing a little bit more information. And, you know, Vince, I know because you had mentioned this before, I never claim to be the world's greatest Nikan wellness consultant or the world's greatest network marketer. Just because if we did that, if you or I both said that, then we would have arrived at a position that we're not at. However, every day, in every way, we're getting better, and we can control that. It's definitely in the mind, and some of us need to kind of rethink what we're saying out of our mouth. And it's not faking it till we make it. It's just if we can make some small corrections in what we're putting in our body for fuel, what we're allowing into our minds, what we're professing out of our mouth, we will be able to be the not only the wellness consultant that God intended us, but the human being that God intended us to be, and live a much better life, and therefore pass it on to other people. So, Vince Tesh, thank you again, has been our guest with us. If you know someone that think would benefit from hearing what Vince has shared, or maybe even a few comments that I have shared, by all means, send them over to www.saturdayamlive, is the website, and that'll take you right into Steve Crowfoot's website, and you can catch the recording on that. As I mentioned, Suzanne Steele will be with us next Saturday, and then 2 weeks from today, Reed Nelson will be our guest. So thank you again, Vince, for everything you've shared. You're a dear, dear saint in my book on these topics. And if you guys have got any questions, feel free to call me, email me. Always available. I keep getting people every week say, oh, you're so busy. No, I'm active by choice. It's my choosing to be as active as we are. It tends to make me sleep better at night when I've utilized my entire, 16, 17-hour day, however much I get out of that one. But the phone number is area code 503-695-5683, or you can email us at vsrogers995@aol.com. That's V as in Vance, S as in Stacy, R-O-G-E-R-S, 995@aol.com. So have a great week, and again, if there's anything we can do for you fine folks, please call us, please email, let us know. We're here to serve, and that's what we do. Okay, so thank you again, everybody. We'll talk to you next Saturday morning, if not before. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.